This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. The Obama administration's Office of Management and Budget released a budget February 1st that shows increases in funding for efforts like airspace modernization, what we call next gen, but does not propose new aviation user fees. But we've seen a lot of back and forth on this front, and if the battle's won, it always seems to come with one caveat, for now. AOPA waged a roughly year-long battle to assure user fees would not be part of the budgetary proposal. So now that the budget's out, is the battle won? What about the FAA reauthorization bill? We're speaking today with AOPA's Vice President of Legislative Affairs, Lorraine Howerton, to give us an idea of what's going on and what may be to come when it comes to user fees. Welcome, Lorraine.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, no user fees in the budget for now. Does that mean the fight is over? Can we all relax about this for a while?
And that's a good question. And the answer is simply no. We can relax a little bit because we've waged a pretty fierce fight, but the battle will never be over. User fees were proposed as a means to fund the FAA beyond the current funding mechanisms that are imposed on GA. Those proposals will always be part and parcel to consideration in Congress, particularly given the current economic situation that we're all facing.
So let's get a better understanding of what for now means. Could Washington process push user fees into the light again?
Sure. There are several ways that user fees can be pushed into the system, even today or tomorrow. Most importantly is the FAA bill has not been authorized. And until such time as there's an authorization for FAA funding, we will not know in law how that funding is going to be achieved. The extension for the FAA authorization bill ends at the end of March. That is less than 2 months away. There's very little likelihood that this bill will not go through another extension before it actually becomes law. There are many speculations that even if a bill is acted upon in the next few weeks in the Senate, it still has to be conferenced. There are issues of contention outside of funding that will hold that bill up, and it may very well be a year-long extension. Some folks are opining that it could be a two-year extension. Any time a bill does not have an authorization, it is subject to all kinds of changes in the priorities that were established through any legislative initiative.
Yes. So what about the back and forth? When these bills are passed around, they're proposed and then worked on, and then something solid seems to appear, but then that's merged with other versions from other legislative arms, and they may have different ideas altogether, right? I mean, the House can pass a version of the bill, much like it did for the FAA reauthorization bill back in 2009, but we still don't have one of those because the Senate hasn't yet passed its version of the bill. And when they do, they have to merge those versions, don't they? How does it work? Should we be worried about the process?
Yeah, we always worry about the process, and you're absolutely right. They do have to merge two bills in the House and Senate, and that's called conferencing. And there is not a bill that does not make it through Congress that is not conferenced. And during conference is a time of compromise. So if there are differing versions in each bill, they compromise on which version actually gets sent to the president or gets sent to Congress, then sent to the president for final approval. The good news as far as fees go, the House does not have an imposition of user fees. The House bill does have an imposition of an increase in gas tax. And that is something that the general aviation community has supported. Even though we have had an economic downturn, we understand the importance of putting in to the system that which we use. The Senate has indicated that it does not have an intention to have user fees, but that intention, as we mentioned previously, is not bound by their legislation or law. At any time, a senator can propose an amendment to the committee bill on the floor, or even potentially in conference, although that is a very far stretch, to come up with a mechanism for funding that would impose user fees.
So what's your best guess on this? When might we see user fees introduced again, and through what sort of vehicle? Is this something that lawmakers could slip into other legislation? I mean, not the reauthorization bill, for example, and not the budget, but something else?
Absolutely. And the reason for that more prevalent than in the past is, as I've mentioned a few times, is the economic downturn. The federal government is reaching trillion-dollar deficits, as we all know, and Congress has to get a grip on those deficits. And in order to do that, they have to shrink federal spending. FAA gets some of its funding through Congress. So every single agency is going to be subject to shrinkage. And when that occurs, we all have to take a look at what gets cut out of the pie. Currently, the general fund for the FAA in the president's proposed budget is down 33%. What does that mean? The general fund is partially how the FAA is funded. The other part of how the FAA is funded is through the Aviation Trust Fund. And that trust fund gets its dollars through the gas tax that we pay on jet fuel and avgas. And so therefore, there's great concern that if the general fund decreases, there will be a bigger draw on the trust fund fees. And because that's where we put our dollars, that's we are very concerned that we'll see the trust fund getting spent down at an exponentially large rate, which will cause there to be a funding crisis in FAA, much like there is in the Highway Trust Fund.
Okay, so aside from staying vigilant, watching AOPA and using news organizations like AvWeb, what can pilots do on their own, as Fuller's encouraged them to do, to become engaged on the subject of user fees? How can pilots stay informed, actively defend their interests on a grassroots level when it comes to things like user fees? For example, is it best to just write your senator and congressman and say, we don't want this? What's the best argument and what sort of approach might best persuade the people in power?
Good, very good question. There are several ways that our pilots can persuade the process. First and foremost, always writing your congressman about issues that are important to the GA community. Letters are always effective. Getting engaged locally. Members of Congress have forums in their congressional districts. They have events. Showing up at those events, being able to express your concern about the GA community, maybe it's through healthcare. Pilots have healthcare issues. When a member of Congress knows that its constituency is dependent upon the pilot community, then that member of Congress tends to listen. Another way to engage is to be active in the AOPA Political Action Committee. One of the reasons why we have been so successful, probably the most prevalent reason, is because we, through our PAC committee, have had great access to members of Congress. This is access to get to know members outside of the confines of a congressional office. When you can sit around and talk about the issues that are important to the local economy, to the GA community, what makes that member of Congress vote the way he does or she does. And without that political action committee, our avenues are much greatly reduced. So we certainly encourage that participation as well. The members have local events that they also have political action local events. Be visible at those. Reach out. Members of Congress also look for volunteers in the community to help with outreach. That's another avenue of opportunity.
Well, now, specifically, when pilots write their congressman or senator, what are the key elements that they should have composed in their letter?
Another good question. There are several key elements that will be most useful. First and foremost, the number of pilots in a congressional district is a big factor for congressional consideration. Whether they're pilots or AOPA members, those numbers are critical. The number of GA airports that serve that congressional district are critical to that member and his voting patterns. And most importantly, are the number of jobs that the GA community creates in a congressional district. All of these statistics are available at AOPA, and we encourage you to use AOPA for this data so when you're writing your member of Congress, you're able to influence with the best available resources to you.
Lorraine, excellent insights. Thank you so much for helping cut through the fog of Washington.
My pleasure. The fog is always here in Washington, as you know.
Well, this has been Glenn Pugh. We've been speaking today with Lorraine Howerton, AOPA's Vice President of Legislative Affairs. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.